So we don't have much time left, so I'm not quite sure what to do with the rest of the service. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go fairly quickly and get to the point. So we are at the part in the book of John where Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus. It's a fairly well-known conversation. It's one of those standout conversations. It's the part in the Bible where we get the most well-known verse in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." It's part of that conversation. I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. I want to remind you why John is writing this gospel. He's writing this gospel so that we would continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing in him, we would have life. I want to remind you of the setup. I've actually enjoyed this series quite a lot personally, as I just see how the things fit together, how Jesus invites the disciples to come and see, and he invites us to come and see. And whenever we enter into a conversation with him, his answer is always, "Come and see. I'll show you. I'll show you more. I'll show you who I am." Jesus, his first miracle at a wedding, it leaves some questions. I chatted to a couple, maybe 2 weeks ago, just after that message, and they said, but why did Jesus do that? It leaves us with some questions. Most of the things that Jesus does leaves us with some questions. But he wants us to experience joy and the fullness of his joy, and a joy not produced by our own effort, but a joy that comes from him. Last week we looked at Jesus clearing the temple, and that he was not necessarily angry or upset, but that he wanted to remove all the hindrances, all the barriers, everything that stood in the way of us being with God. And that's the lead up, that's the build up. And he brings us to this place where he says, "I want to have a conversation with you about this very strange thing, being born again." And God has this conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus. It says that Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus late at night. Just very quickly, a Pharisee was a very prominent political religious group at the time of Jesus. One of the things that they strictly believed in and adhered to was the letter of the law. And many of the conversations that Jesus will have with them through the Gospels is about this, that they value human traditions and the oral traditions more than the heart of what God is communicating. That's where they would bump heads often. The word Pharisee comes from a word that means to be separate, to be apart. And they saw themselves as better. Remember the story of the Pharisee who cried out to God and said, "I'm better than these people. Have listened to my prayer." And then the other man just fell on his knees and said, "God, have mercy on me." That's where the Pharisees were. They saw themselves as better because they adhered to all of these rules and all of these regulations. And then it says, at night, this one Pharisee comes to Jesus and he says to him, "Rabbi, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." He reveals a problem. He reveals a struggle. He says that we can all see. He says we all see. He's not talking just about himself. He says we can all see that there's something different about you, that you bring the truth, and what you say is the truth. But what he's saying in that sentence is, "But I'm actually wrestling, because I have all these traditions, all these ways that have been taught, all these ways that I'm adhering to." In that day and today, we have a word for that. It's called religion. Man-made things that have been put onto the truth that God loves us, wants us to be with him. And he Nicodemus says, I'm wrestling with this. I can see, but I'm wrestling. And Jesus, knowing what's happening in his heart, don't you just love it when Jesus doesn't answer the question? Sometimes some would consider it rude. Nicodemus is having a conversation with Jesus. The answer to this would be, thank you, Nicodemus. Thank you that you see what I'm doing. How can I help you to better understand? He just jumps in straight. He says, tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He says to him, Nicodemus, the fact that you see what I'm doing and you begin to believe that it's truth and you wrestle with these things, the only way to solve that problem is to be born again. And this word, born again, and we've made it a strange and a difficult word. And if we're honest, most of us will say exactly what Nicodemus says. How can that be? How is it possible? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? You see, it's not a religious term. It's not a something strange or mystical that happens, and now we belong to a certain club. It's something profound, and we'll get to that in a moment. It's not something that we can fully understand. How am I born again? How am I born a second time? We're all sitting here, we've been born. It's Mother's Day today. The fact that you sit here means that you had a mother. You had to be born. That's the first birth. And Jesus looks at this old man, Nicodemus, and he says, the fact that you have been born does not make you alive. For you to be alive, you need to be born a second time. You need to be born again. You remember what Jesus said, what John says about Jesus in John 1, verse 12? I said it's one of my favorite all-time verses. But to all who believed in him, who accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. He's preempting, John, that you need to be born again. Not born to a natural mother and a natural father, but born of God. Born again, so that you can be a child of God. Jesus says to him, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of opinions, a lot of things about this particular phrase. What does it mean to be born of water and of the Spirit? I would suggest this morning, let's just read what the Bible says. He continues and he explains it. He says, humans can produce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. It's a lot easier if we allow the Bible to interpret the Bible for us. You see, Nicodemus is saying, but how does this two births work? I know that I've been born from my mother. How does this second birth work? And then Jesus talks about being born of water and being born of the Spirit. It's not so important what meaning we attach to being born of water, because I believe clearly that talks about, in my opinion, the first birth. If you've forgotten this or haven't learned this yet, if you're a little bit younger, where does that baby live? Lives in the water. And then when it's about for the time for the birth to take place, what happens? The woman's water will break. And that child will be brought into this life. So think of it for a moment. That child has been underwater for 9 months. That's why when the child comes out, it has to cry. Why? Because it has to switch from being in water to breathing air. But that's not the important part. The important part is that after humans have given birth or life to humans, that's what we read in John 1:12, 13, a little bit later. It says, born not of a man, but born of God. God now comes and says, but there's a second thing that must take place. You must be born again, a second time. My spirit needs to come and make you alive, birth you, so that you can, the words that he used here, enter into the kingdom of God. See what God is doing. Fully understand and fully be part of that. Be a child of God. He continues and he says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. And he says something that might seem a little bit strange. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it goes, so you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit or how people are born again. It's actually interesting because the reason why Jesus uses that word or that illustration doesn't fully make sense to us because we don't understand Greek. And in the Greek language, the word pneuma is the word for breath. It's the word for spirit, both the Spirit of God and my spirit. And it's also the word for wind. So when Jesus is having this conversation and he's talking about being born again and he's talking about the spirit, the pneuma, that will give life to you, and it's difficult to understand, he illustrates it and he says, but you don't know where the wind, where the pneuma blows and how it blows. And for those people, they would understand the link between these two. You see, just as the wind moves in a way that we cannot predict or understand, no one can see the path that the wind takes. So if they design buildings, tall skyscrapers, they have to build models what the wind will do to this building. They have to try and predict the path of the wind. Sometimes they make miscalculations, and if the wind blows too strong, that building will fall over. The Spirit of God moves in such a way that it's impossible for us to see where it comes from or where it goes. But what can we see from the wind? We can see the effect of the wind. We can see the branches moving. We can feel it blowing against us. And in the same way, Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus that you can't fully understand this, but you'll see the effect. You'll see the outcome. You'll see what happens when someone is born a second time and made alive by God. I need to see where I am. I'm going to skip a whole lot. You're welcome to go read through the rest of that conversation, because there's some interesting things there that Jesus says to Nicodemus. I want to highlight this idea of being born again, being born a second time. All of us sitting here have been born at least once. Some of us who sit here have been born twice. And that's the question we have to talk about this morning. Have I experienced Jesus bringing life to me? I had the privilege of doing a funeral, or leading a funeral on Friday. It's a person that had cancer and he passed away. That was quite interesting. I didn't really know the person that well. I had a couple of conversations with him over months. The first time I spoke to him is when he was struggling with cancer and there was still some hope. He was going for treatment. So that was the extent of our conversation. We talked about that and we prayed about that. And in that, he declared that his hope is in God, that he trusts in God, that he believes in God. I think the second time we had a prominent conversation is when he went through a good patch. And it looked like the cancer was in remission. And you know what his response in that moment was? I want to testify. I want to tell everyone of what God has done. And he did. Those of you who could remember, a couple of months ago, we shared a testimony of Ricky as he shared that story. But there's a theme beginning to emerge. When I spoke to him 2 weeks before he passed away, it was actually quite strange because he wanted to plan his funeral. He wanted to say to me, will you do the funeral and can we do this? And I had to say to him, well, no, you're still with us. Let's engage with that. And he uttered these words. He said, I'm ready to go. The Lord can come and take me. And I had a conversation with his brother-in-law, and we had this conversation maybe two or three times. And he said to me, I've stood next to people's bed when they die. I've seen them in the last week or two of their life, their earthly life. But I've seen so many people who are afraid in that moment, who are uncertain. And it was an incredible privilege to see a man who said, I'm ready to meet my Maker. There's no fear, there's no guilt, there's no shame. You know what's interesting? So that's what I know about this guy. And it was a privilege to share that and to talk about that. That he knew that Jesus went to prepare a place for him and that Jesus would come back to fetch him. John chapter 14, we'll get to that. As I chatted with the family a little bit, I learned that Ricky and his brother-in-law was quite naughty. So when I asked him on a scale of 9 to 10, how naughty were you? He said, pretty close to 10. They were pretty naughty as young people. If you look at his life, there were some family issues. I would presume there were some other issues. But you know what? On his deathbed, the only thing that qualified him to be with God was the fact that he accepted Jesus, that he was born again. That he was born a second time. That he believed in Jesus Christ. And that meant that all the fear and all the shame and all the guilt and all the other things did not matter at all. And it was an incredible privilege to stand just here 2 days ago and to declare that the only thing that qualifies Ricky to be with God is that he accepted Jesus Christ, that he was born again in the language that Jesus is using with Nicodemus. Not because he tried this, not because he sorted this out, not because he had a conversation with this person before he passed away and he made peace. No. None of those things matter. He accepted Jesus. Now, should we do the other things? Absolutely. Should we make peace? Should we forgive? That's what we're doing in our course tonight. Absolutely. But none of that qualifies me to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's where Nicodemus was. That's where Nicodemus' struggle was. What should I do? What should I do? Conversation that Jesus has with him is that he interrupts and he says, you can do nothing except believe in me and allow me to come and do what you will never understand with your human mind, cause you to be born a second time. Why do we need to be born again? Because when God says to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, he warns them, you may eat of this tree, any tree except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of this fruit, you are sure to die. Now help me just here for a moment. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, did they fall down and die? What happened? They were separated from God. Again, later in John, I think it's John 17, it says, this is true life, this is eternal life, that you may know God. So what happens when we are born again is we begin to know God. We begin to be in relationship with Him, because that is life. Everything outside of that, we are still living as dead people like Adam and Eve. We hide. We try and cover up. We try and do things to please God, just as Nicodemus does. We have the history of the Old Testament and the laws and the failures associated with that, because people cannot save themselves. They need to accept the gift of Jesus. Isaiah 59, 1-2. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is His ear too deaf to hear your call. It is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and will not listen anymore. First Peter 1, because this word born again is not just mentioned in John chapter 3. It says you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, when you believed. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your hearts. You have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. And because Ricky, somewhere in his life and somewhere in his journey, was born again, he allowed God, he believed in God, and he allowed God to come and do something that is like the wind that blows, no one can fully understand. He received life. The moment he closed his eyes here, he opened his eyes to eternal life. Colossians 2:13. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave your sins. So if we look at this phrase here at the side, it's a little bit dark, you can't see it. I came that you might have life. John chapter 10, we'll get to that one. John chapter 10 only happens if I have been born again. If I allow his life to come into me. 1 Peter 1, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that you were born again, born a second time, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. We have a hope. People who have been born again, if you look into their eyes, they have hope. They can declare, yes, it might be difficult in this season. I might be going through trials and tribulations, but I have a hope, and my hope is secure. Ephesians 2, God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ. That means, for 2 Corinthians 5, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, the new has come. He has been born again. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and his love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done. Can you see Nicodemus? Can you see his struggle? all the things that he'd been taught over the years. This is what you must do to please God. Not because of any of those things, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, gave us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. And I ask that you close your eyes again. Maybe you have many questions about this. How does this work? Can I encourage you to do what Nicodemus did? Nicodemus, in the quiet of night, when no one saw him, he approached Jesus. Jesus had a conversation with him. Jesus explained to him what he must do to become a child of God. Born not just of a mother and a father, but born of God, made alive because of the sacrifice that Jesus would fulfill on the cross. A sacrifice that would wash away my sins. I said earlier that all of us in this room, all of us watching on the live stream, have been born once. Then I said, some of us have been born a second time. The rest of us have not been born a second time. Maybe there's a third group in between that said, I'm not sure. Can I encourage you that if you say you are unsure, that you would associate with a group that say, I've not been born. Not been born a second time. I've not been made alive by God. While your eyes are closed, you need to hear this. There is no special recipe. That's the point of this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus. It's not the recipe. Why did John write this book? That we would continue to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and that by believing in him we would have life. That implies being born again, experiencing this miracle that is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from and we don't know where it goes, but we can sense the effect and we can see the effect of that. I want to ask if you are in that space this morning where you are in the dark wanting to go to Jesus while everyone's eyes closed. You want to have a conversation with Jesus about this topic. But you just want to quickly slip up your hand and you can let it down again. A couple of hands, I see them. God sees them. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask the whole congregation to pray with me. So I'm going to say a line, you say the line after me. And we're going to pray together. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you're a little bit unsure. But you want to pray with us. And then afterwards, when the prayer team is here in front, you can come for any prayer request. But if you raised your hand, can I encourage you to come speak to a person? Someone who has experienced this. Just to take your hand, just to pray with you. Let's pray together. Let's say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for loving me so much that you gave your son. I'm not sure how this works. But I declare that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross And that because of that, my sins are washed away. And that because of that, you make me your child. Father, I pray for everyone who raised their hands, and for, even for those who were too scared to raise their hands. I want to pray that the Spirit, the pneuma, the wind of God would blow over them. And even though we don't understand how it works, that you would come and cause this miracle to happen, for us to be born a second time, for us to experience life. Father, we pray for those who have experienced this in the past, that you would remind us that we no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to you. We were purchased with a price. That we are your children. Father, would you cause us to walk in this new way of life? May we have life because we believe in Jesus. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.